Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we read from Isaiah's Passion History is taken from the 53rd chapter, verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So far as word. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death for us, dear fellow redeemed. It sounds unthinkable, considering all Jesus went through and suffered for us in order to redeem us. We're truly amazed. At least we should be. I know we've heard this over and over again, but every time we hear it, it should cause us to be utterly amazed and astounded. Whoever would have thought the eternal, blessed Son of God would be so cruelly mistreated by the very people that he came to bless? Even more amazing is that the Holy Son of God was nailed to an accursed tree to suffer the torment of hell and death for us. Unthinkable as all this is, everything happened as Isaiah had foretold 700 years before Jesus took step on this earth. Not only does this verify the absolute truthfulness of God's inspired word and his faithfulness to his promises, but it also reveals God's love for us. In this morning's text, we find yet another aspect of Jesus' passion, which seems incomprehensible. With Jesus having been cut off from the land of the living, his lifeless body was laid to rest in a grave. For mortal man, death is quite common. And the burial to follow is also common. But Jesus, he was not only true man, but he was true God. And death was such a foreign thing to him as God. And yet, as Jesus had foretold it, it was not only necessary for him to suffer death, but also have his body laid to rest in a grave. As people travel different parts of the world, one of the things that they will find, invariably, quite commonly, are graves. Over the years, as loved ones have passed away, those left behind want to show love and respect to those dear ones by giving them a proper burial. And if it is a Christian, a proper Christian burial. People are buried, sometimes humble graves on the meadow, and others in ornate tombs. The Bible makes special mention of various burials that took place in Old Testament times. We hear of Abraham, who sojourned in Canaan. He bought a cave of Machpelah that he used to bury his dear beloved wife Sarah, a grave that he also was intending to have himself buried in as well. There was Jacob. Remember, he was down in Egypt, passed away there, and his brethren took his body and carried it back to Canaan for him, his body to be laid to rest alongside of Abraham and Sarah. And then centuries later, there was Joseph. His body, after he had died, they embalmed his body. And then years later, when the Israelites made their way to the Promised Land, they took his body along with them to be buried there. It's very likely the Old Testament patriarchs had this thought of being buried in Palestine because they believed that at some future time, God would keep his promise, that he would give this land to their descendants. Another thing that was probably uppermost in their mind was that they believed the promise that the Christ would be born and live in this very same land. There he would live and die so that we could enter the promised land of heaven. Just as countless numbers died and were buried prior to the time of Christ, so also the Lord of glory died and has his body placed in a grave. But unlike many others, Jesus had made no prior preparations for his burial. You know how sometimes people today, they have it all planned out. They have the kind of service that they want performed. They have a place where their bodies are going to be laid to rest. But Jesus gave no thought of preparations of his burial, even though he knew when and where it would take place. Just as Jesus was concerned about others during his life, serving everyone else, he gave little thought about himself, including his burial. All this does not mean that Jesus' burial was not prepared, planned for by the Heavenly Father. Our text reveals that God had foreordained how his son was to be buried. Verse 9, we find Isaiah foretelling two aspects concerning this matter. One was how Jesus' enemies wanted his body to be just cast off in shame and disgrace. But then the other aspect of this was that God had plans for his son to receive an honorable burial. Concerning the desire of Christ's enemies, we read, and they make or they assign his grave with the wicked. With this, Isaiah revealed Jesus' enemies wanted him to be buried in a grave of dishonor and shame, a grave befitting a criminal. In Old Testament history, those of ill repute were buried in disgrace, if they were buried at all. Those who cried out for Jesus to be crucified regarded him to be a terrible criminal. When Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy, worthy of death. When given the choice of releasing a murderer and an insurrectionist, Barabbas, as opposed to Jesus, they cried out for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be crucified. And by this, they regarded Jesus to be worse than a murderer and an insurrectionist. Therefore, the Jews not only wanted Jesus to die a shameful and painful death by crucifixion, they also wanted his body to be cast off in shame and disgrace. Since a special Sabbath observance was to begin that evening, the Jews wanted the bodies of the crucified to be quickly and unceremoniously disposed of. Therefore, they prevailed upon Pilate to make quick their death, those on the cross. They had Pilate send his men to break the legs of the crucified, and this would hasten their death. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead, and so they did not break his legs. This was according to Old Testament prophecy. In the book of Numbers, we find the Lord giving instruction what was to happen with the Passover lamb that pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord said for them, don't break a single bone in the Passover lamb. And this was pointing to how God was foretelling that his son wouldn't have any of his bones broken on the cross. Instead of Jesus' enemies taking charge of his burial, lest they become ceremonially unclean by coming in contact with a dead body, Jesus' disciples had the honor to lay his lifeless remains in a grave. Their names were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Up until this time, these two disciples of Christ were secret disciples and followers of Christ because they were afraid of what their fellow colleagues in the Sanhedrin would say or do to them if they found out they were his disciples. And yet, when they witnessed their Savior's dying love for them, they didn't care what those colleagues thought or would do to them, because they had such great love for him. They were overwhelmed by love and devotion to him. They wanted to show Jesus honor by burying him themselves. Nicodemus may well have remembered Jesus saying to him sometime before this about this wonderful good news of the gospel. Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." With Joseph of Arimathea compelled by love for his Savior, he went openly and boldly to Pilate in order to ask for Jesus' body. Excuse me. He gave no thought or concern about what his colleagues would say or do to him when they went against their wishes. You remember, Jesus' enemies wanted his body just to be cast off. But Joseph and Nicodemus wanted to give Jesus' body an honorable burial. We do well to take note of Joseph's exemplary love and devotion to Christ, and pray that the Lord enable us to fearlessly stand up and speak up for Christ and our belief in him. If we are tempted to be secret disciples of Christ who do not want others to find out that we're believers in Jesus, let us look on Christ's great love for us. He endured terrible shame and ridicule for us. He bore our sins in his body, and he suffered an accursed death for us, for our forgiveness and salvation. There we'll find the impetus to stand up for Jesus and for our Christian belief in him, and show our love and devotion to him openly and unashamedly. Both Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had been blessed with material wealth, and so they could provide him with an honorable burial. Joseph, or rather Nicodemus, bought about 75 pounds of a mixture of myrrh and aloes with which to embalm Jesus' body before putting him into the grave. Now, they did this according to Jewish custom, but it was not done because Jesus' body would remain lifeless in the grave until Judgment Day. This, again, is an amazing thing about Jesus, because ordinarily, you know, what is different and amazing is that, you know, when you and I die, our bodies begin to decay right away. But this was not to be the case with Jesus. It was foretold in Psalm 16 concerning his body, "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." So they didn't need to embalm his body, and his body wouldn't decay. He would remain in the heart of the earth for 3 days and then come back to life. After taking Jesus' body down from the cross, the two disciples carried it to Joseph's personal tomb. It was near Golgotha. It was a new tomb that was hewn out of rock, and no other dead body had been laid to rest in that tomb. It was for Jesus. And in this way, Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus' burial was with the rich, and not in disgrace, but in honor. Many are the examples in the Bible which demonstrates the truthfulness of God's word. Throughout the passion history of Christ, every single prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. God's word is indeed absolute truth, and it's completely trustworthy. Keep this in mind. Whenever unbelievers try to call into question the truthfulness of the Bible, it is also a source of great comfort to know that God's promises are sure and certain. And this is something that we want to remember and hold on to, especially in the hour of death. When people are at the footsteps of death, there can be fears that creep in and doubts that creep in. Are my sins fully forgiven? Am I going to go to heaven when I die? Remember the truthfulness of God's word and his promise. Remember what he said to Nicodemus. You believe in me, you will not suffer eternal death, but you will have eternal life in heaven. Finally, in our text, Isaiah reveals the reason why Jesus was buried in honor when it writes, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Well, his enemies believed that Jesus was one of the worst criminals and was deserving of a grave of shame and dishonor. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. The guilt that Jesus bore on the cross was not for his, anything he had done wrong. It was our guilt that he bore in his body. The accursed death Jesus underwent was not to pay the penalty for anything he had done wrong. It was pay the penalty for all that we have done wrong. On account of such great love and such great sacrifice, Jesus was truly worthy and deserving of a burial of honor. In the three Christian creeds, that is the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, we openly make confession of Jesus' death and his burial because of its eternal significance to us and all the sinners in this world. We've come to know and to believe and therefore openly confess that Jesus perfectly and fully completed his work of redemption for every single sin that we've been guilty of. So that through faith in Jesus, we know with confidence, all my sins have been taken away. I've been washed clean of all my terrible thoughts and words and deeds. And it's not just for us. It's for every single person in this world. And so because of Jesus, we know that because of what he did for us on the cross, the gates of heaven are open wide for us to pass through when we depart this life. Because of our Savior, we know that there's no need for us to be afraid or dread death. Jesus has conquered death and gives us life and immortality. Death can be looked upon simply as a passageway that leads to our eternal life of glory in heaven. And it's going to happen right after you die. What did Jesus say to that thief on the cross who confessed his faith in Jesus? He said, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." What did Jesus say? "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." So we fall asleep in death, but we wake up right away in heaven. And because Jesus rose in glory, we too will be raised in glory in the last day. May God grant us all a blessed end, believing in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.